Our New Testament readings this morning come from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9, and I'll actually be reading that during the sermon. And the book of John, chapter 20, verse 19 through 30. Hear now the word of our Lord. This takes place, if you recall, this scripture in John takes place after Jesus has risen from the grave. The ladies had come, Mary and the other Mary and some others went in the morning early, Sunday morning. Because they could not go on the Sabbath, they hurried early Sunday morning to finish the work of taking care of the body of Jesus. The body had been prepared after his crucifixion by Joseph and also by, help me out. Who else helped Joseph and ready to prepare the body? The man who came and Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. Okay, Joseph and Nicodemus. Thank you for... You leave me up here hanging, don't you? Okay. I could have pretended I remembered it myself, but you didn't do it. Joseph and Nicodemus had prepared the body hastily. Because the Passover was about to begin. And so the ladies came out early Sunday morning, not having been able to come on the Sabbath to finish preparing the body and everything. They wanted to get there early while it was still somewhat preserved, hoping somebody would roll the stone away, and they found the body was gone. Mary encountered Jesus. And Jesus, well, the angels told her that Jesus had was not there, that he had risen, and go tell the disciples. And she went and told the disciples, and then she went back to the grave and encountered Jesus as she was going. The disciples didn't believe her when she told them that Jesus had risen. And here we are. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, that is the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you, which is shalom. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, and he was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Just as Mary had told them, by the way. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came and through the door, locked doors, and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Many people like to read this scripture. The story of Doubting Thomas has always been a popular story. I think it makes us feel pretty good. Here we are, believers in Christ, and believing about this guy who was supposed to be a disciple, and he wouldn't believe that the Christ had risen. Jesus had told him that on the third day I will rise again from the dead. And in the Old Testament scriptures, it said on the third day he would rise from the dead. And yet his very disciple, his very one of the 12 apostles did not believe. One of the 11 remaining apostles did not believe that Jesus had risen. So it kind of makes us feel a little self-righteous, kind of good that we believe and Thomas didn't. And so the term Doubting Thomas survives to this day. Every one of us are pretty much sure that we would not have reacted the way that Thomas did if they had told us. If the disciples had come up and said that Jesus is alive, none of us would have ever said, I won't believe it till I put my hands in his side and see his wounds. Isn't that right? Are you sure? Are you very sure? Thomas had heard the testimony of Jesus about his dying. He said, I will lay my life down and I will take it up in 3 days. But he had not received the Holy Spirit and did not understand that. Before we pray, before we read scripture, we always pray and ask the Lord to open our ears, to open our eyes, to help us see and understand his word. Thomas did not see and understand his word. He had heard the word, but he had not seen and understood it. It just wasn't good enough for him, the testimony of the other disciples. And you know, in many ways, if you think about it, that made a lot of sense. The women had come and said, we went to the grave and the angels were there and they told us that Jesus was risen. And the disciples' reaction was, he's crazy women, they've just got themselves all wound up and everything in anguish and grief. We saw him crucified. We saw him die on the cross. Thomas had seen him die on the cross. They didn't believe these women. And when Mary came back again and said, I have seen the Lord, I've touched the Lord, I've spoken to the Lord, they didn't believe her. How can we now believe the good news? Mary had seen him, an eyewitness. The 10 disciples had seen him, an eyewitness, and yet Thomas did not believe. Jesus walked right into the locked room where they were. And not just the book of John, but other scripture recalling this time describes the same thing. Other eyewitnesses described it as a locked room. He showed them his wounds. He showed them his side. And what did he say to them? He didn't say, "You idiots, what are you doing locked in this room? What are you afraid of?" He said, "Shalom." He gave the Jewish message of peace. It means peace with God. It's different than peace of this world. It means peace with God, true peace. He walked right through the door. In John 10, Jesus said, "I am the door." And this same Jesus would let no earthly door keep him out. He walked in and he showed him his wounds and they believed. Shalom, peace be with you. Jesus said, "I am the gate. I let the sheep in and I let the sheep out, and the thief cannot come in. I know my sheep. I call them by name." Shalom. Peace be with you. They were afraid. They were confused. Everything that they had believed had been untrue. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the one who the Scripture promised, the one who Jesus had told him he was, the King of the Jews. From the traditions that they had been raised in their Jewish faith, they also believed that he would be the liberator, the one who would free Israel from the oppression of the Romans and any others. And yet, he was taken and beaten and tortured and nailed to the cross, and he died just like any other man. He died on the cross. Now, when he died, before he died, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he gave forgiveness to his persecutors. And when he died, the earth shook and turned dark, and the curtain in the temple was rent, was torn from top to bottom. But he died. And his body was anointed by Joseph, and he was put into the grave. And this is what the disciples knew, that everything that they had believed had fallen away, and they hid in a locked room for fear that the Jewish leaders would come after them next. And Jesus walks in through the locked door and says, "Shalom, peace be with you." They were afraid, they were in doubt, they were scared, and they were confused. And Jesus walked into their lives. I have found myself in pain, confused, afraid, alone. And it's only Jesus Christ who can walk into my life and bring peace. Jesus walks into our lives and says, "Believe in me." Are you sure you believe this? The really good news that we learn from our scripture today is that even if you're not sure, even if you have doubts at times, even if you won't always accept the good news, Jesus doesn't walk away. Jesus doesn't give up. Even if you're not there to hear the good news, Jesus doesn't give up. A week later, Jesus returned, and this time Thomas was there to hear. This time Thomas was there to see. This time Thomas was there to know that Jesus had risen, that Jesus was there, and he had returned for him. Because this relationship with Jesus is not a church relationship. It's not a congregation relationship. It's not a United States or an earthly relationship. It's a personal relationship. And Jesus came back personally and spoke to Thomas personally and reached out for Thomas, calling him by name. Believe in me and have peace. And Thomas, do you remember what his response was? It wasn't, "Oh yes, there is a God." It wasn't, "Praise be to God." Thomas didn't yell out and say, "Look at that." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." A personal acknowledgement. "My God, my Lord, came back for me because I didn't believe. I wouldn't accept him. And he came back for me." You remember, these are the same disciples that when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and after Peter had weakly tried to defend him, or bravely or foolishly tried to defend him, and Jesus said, "No, don't do this." They didn't go with Jesus to the Sanhedrin court. They didn't go to Jesus with court in front of Pontius Pilate. They denied that they even knew Jesus. They ran and hid. And Jesus came back for them. And Jesus came back for them again and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." Just last week, we were all shouting, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has risen. Jesus Christ has risen indeed." And already, a week after Easter, we're ready to go back and lock ourselves in our safe, secure rooms. Keeping the world at bay. Keeping ourselves sheltered from doubts. Keeping ourselves sheltered from the pain. But Jesus Christ has come back, and he says to you, "Shalom, peace be with you. Believe in me. Blessed are those who believe." Jesus walks through the doors that we have shut and locked. Jesus walks through the gates that we have barred and put up to secure ourselves, and says, "Peace be with you." And when Jesus breathes upon us, we have life anew. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, the man whose name I forgot, "You must be born again." And Jesus was crucified and buried. In 3 days, he rose from the dead and brought new life and breathed new light upon his people and gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can believe. The Holy Spirit, when we receive it, is our proof. Until we receive it, his word is nonsense, doesn't make sense, cannot be believed. And if we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, and we can know for sure, and we can have the peace that Jesus Christ has promised. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is Paul speaking. opening 1 Peter, his letter. I mean, I'm sorry, this is Peter speaking in his writing to his people, saying, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, this is Peter who was in that room that night. Peter who denied Christ 3 times and then heard the roosters crow on the night that he forsake Jesus, the night that Jesus was arrested. This is Peter who Christ had said, "I will build my church upon you," speaking. "And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you will rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that through though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is our Lord, our Creator. This is Jesus. A Samaritan woman who meets Jesus at noon and becomes one of the first evangelists in the New Testament. You remember the Samaritan woman at the well? And Jesus knew that she had lived with, had 5 husbands and lived with a man who wasn't her husband. And Christ uses her to go and bring her whole village to come and worship him as the Messiah. The man at the gates of the temple that Jesus had been born blind, and Jesus restores his sight. And this man goes out and defies authorities. And that's in John 9. And in John 10, the sisters, Mary and Martha, when Lazarus died, even after Lazarus died and Jesus had not showed up to save him as they had requested, they confess their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus keeps sending us out of our safe, locked rooms, into a world that desperately seeks his gifts of life and of peace. Let me read to you the very first 5 verses of the book of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness..."